They still smell the powder burning, and they probably always will. And on the old town.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show with FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with me, your show host. Still to come on the program about an hour from now, Dale Jackson, WVNN, and my former stomping ground, Yellowhammer News. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, State Auditor Andrew Sorrell making his monthly appearance. I figured it was about time to get him on. So he's always interesting. We'll talk about a lot of things with him in that 11 o'clock hour. But joining us now in the meantime, always a pleasure. We're one of our Monday regulars here. State Representative Shane Stringer is on the line. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me on, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. What have you, how's the, how you got the sea legs back under you, back into normal life here post the 2024 legislative brawl?
Yeah, everything's kind of calming down, getting back to our normal day-to-day operations. So glad to get a little break.
Well, let's start here. I'm beleaguered this topic for the last few weeks because we've been out of session for a while. But any residual fallout from your no vote on gaming or gambling or whatever we're going to call it now?
No, you know, nothing in Montgomery, and you know, all the feedback I'm getting from my district, the people I'm talking to, you know, they're pleased with my vote, and you know, especially the ones that read the bill and you know, just had heartburn over it for one reason or another, were happy I took the stance I did and did what I did. And, you know, and at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, going to Montgomery to represent our districts and our constituents, and that's hopefully what I did in this situation.
Yeah, we're still hearing about it. There's still a lot of media reporting. Our buddies at the Alabama Political Reporter are still obsessed with it, but I don't get the sense that, like, hey, those of you who voted no, including those in the Senate, there's this just groundswell of outrage. Like, how dare you? I mean, there's a comment here and there, but I don't think it's a real thing.
No, and I don't either. You know, just talking to people throughout the district, you know, everybody seemed to understand that this was a very complicated issue. You know, the biggest misconception is that this was a lottery vote, and it was not just a lottery vote. It was a gaming vote. And, you know, that was probably the biggest misunderstanding within the community, is just people, you know, feeling like that we were voting on lottery and not the full-blown gaming.
Yeah, I think you're right, but people believe what they want to believe. We're joined by Shane Stringer of Citronelle here on the line. Representative, the other duty, your police chief there in Criolla, and I know it's a little bit out of your jurisdiction or district somewhat, but what do you make of this? What do you make of what's going on in Mobile police force-wise, the turmoil there in the mayor's office versus the police chief and the director of public safety and whatnot? What do you think that is, I guess more importantly than anything, that even politically, but even what's it mean for public safety?
It's, you know, it's, I guess, disappointing, as being a law enforcement, to see that kind of negativity coming around. You know, I'm friends with Chief Bryan and have known him for a long, long time, and very professional, sharp guy. And, you know, it ain't been a few months ago that the city was, you know, bragging about how low the crime stats are and, you know, lowest they had been since like 1994 or something like that. So, you know, I don't understand, you know, why things got to the point that we're in the situation we're in now. You know, I would hope that they could have worked that out and resolve differences before it got to that. You know, our state is looking at Mobile now, and it's, you know, not just the state, all the law enforcement across the South. And, you know, I hate that we're in that light, and hopefully we can learn from it and try to grow from it. I personally was impressed with Chief Bryan's performance and what he was able to accomplish as the chief there at Mobile. And, you know, hopefully, Mobile staff is very sharp, squared away. I've worked with most of them guys my whole career. So they're going to pick up the mantle and they'll keep working hard and doing what they're doing. And the officers are sharp, squared away, and they're going to continue to do their job and hopefully ignore the political side of this.
Any reaction to that what was at least disclosed in that Kenyon Brown report? I mean, I know there's some questions about the credibility or validity of it, but the tactics, I not exactly my expertise here, but like based on what you know about it, do we read anything out of that?
You know, really disappointed in that whole report. I learned this week that Lawrence Batiste, you know, previous chief and public safety director, had been interviewed, and nothing in his interview is in that report, which would seem to be very important. So I don't understand that. But, you know, the fact that with the situation that was involved at Axel Academy, you know, coming out showing that wasn't facts is very damning to the report. You know, anytime you use something in court, if you can prove any part of your report or a report is false or not true, then basically the remainder of the report's not true. And it's, you know, not usable. So I don't know. I think hopefully Mobile, you know, can learn a lot from this situation, and, you know, hopefully this don't happen again. But, you know, I really was disappointed in Brown's report and how that turned out, and, you know, some of the inconsistencies that's been proven so far.
Well, it's just, it seems like a weird internal turf war. I don't know. Like, the way that's structured in Mobile city government, it's not ideal. There's too many. It's one of these situations where there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians or whatever, because there's just who's really in charge of what, and no one can really clearly define that.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. You know, one of the things being in law enforcement for 32 years, you know, when you hire a chief of police, you're hiring him for his experience and his knowledge in running and being able to organize a department. And when you do that, you know, it's kind of like a marriage. You have to trust them with everything. You have to trust them to do that, to do their job. And, you know, that's one of the things I see from time to time between chiefs and mayors. There's, you know, they don't have the trust like it should be between each other or something. And that can lead to complications and even catastrophic failures like we've seen in Mobile. So hopefully, whoever they appoint or make permanent chief in Mobile, they can develop that relationship with the mayor, and they can become, get that trust between each other where they can, you know, they'll trust their chief to do the job and give him full access to the intel unit, everything that he's going to need to do the job.
Well, and the other question I would pose, like, what morale among the rank and file, you know, beat officers, and just that, yeah, you got to think, like, this political turmoil, it can't be good for that at all. And to me, that's what imperils the public safety angle a little bit more. Like, I mean, you're asking a lot of these guys as it is for them to, like, kind of sit there and think, well, why am I doing this? You know, this is the way we're treated, like as if we're political pawns or something. Then I go do something else for my life or go work in another department.
And that's true. Now I'll applaud Major Philip McCrary. You know, he stepped out at the very beginning of this and, you know, made a statement that he was, you know, going to look into the report, and they would be responding to it. And they've really taken him and the rest of the staff at MPD has really stepped out to address the morale and the rank and file guys to make sure that, you know, they're solid and they're good. And, you know, they're going to rally the troops and they'll get them to focus on the mission, which is protecting and serving the citizens of Mobile, and, you know, which they're very good at. They've got one of the best training academies around. So the guys that are in the staff will, you know, calm things down and get it back to where it needs to be.
Representative, summer is about to be upon us here, Memorial Day, and this will, you know, busy traffic. 45 still out there. And I guess the question I have is this. Now, last time we spent a lot of time talking about this, the ALDOT was going to at least try to, like, impose some speed limit restrictions or do something to try to make it safer. And you and I talk about it all the time. Where are we on that? What do you think 45, any of those remedies do it make it any difference?
They have done stuff. They have been put the rumble strips in the middle of the highway. That has absolutely helped, in my opinion. You know, like you said, we got summertime and peak season coming on, you know, where we'll see all the beach goers traveling through, you know, Washington County, Citronelle, coming down to the, our beaches on the coast. So you're going to see a mass growth there here shortly. But I think that, you know, some of the things they've done has absolutely helped, but including the working the state trooper, you know, traffic enforcement from time to time. But at the end of the day, that's not the fix-all. At the end of the day, they're going to have to put some asphalt on the ground, and we're going to have to address it. You know, I'm constantly speaking with the governor's staff and ALDOT, and, you know, I'll be requesting another meeting with Director Cooper here soon to see what else we've got going and continue to be a squeaky wheel. You know, we have got to continue to fight until we get something done. You know, we've had way too many deaths on Highway 5, and, you know, we had a similar scenario with Highway 98, and once we got it four lane, for the most part, we've had very few fatalities on 98. So I look forward to the day that we can accomplish that on Highway 45, and maybe we can save a lot of lives in doing so.
And for our listeners' sake, you and I have made this an ongoing narrative on this program when you've come on, but it too did lately. 45 is four lane. Once you hit the Mississippi state line, and it continues four lane all the way, I think, like, to Kentucky or something. But when you get to Mobile, I mean, not Mobile, but when you get to Washington County there at the state line, it bottlenecks into two lanes, and it's two lanes for most of its trip down into Mobile County, I guess, to right before you get to Pritchard. But a lot of traffic comes down that way this time of year. It's a major north-south thoroughfare. And just for years, Representative, the state has talked about it. I mean, ever since I've been a child, talked about making that a four-lane route from state line all the way into Pritchard, but it just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I've talked to legislators that have been in Montgomery forever, you know, Joe Faust, Coach Shivers, and some of them, you know, and they said it's been a topic ever since they have been in legislature. And I know from talking to some of Representative J.E. Turner's family, you know, he fought that fight the whole time he was there. And, you know, you would think that in that time span, something would be done. And, you know, I think that, you know, we're looking at it wrong from a state perspective. I think when we do look at it, we always look at trying to do the whole, I think it's roughly 59 miles from Mississippi to Pritchard. And I think we've got to get away from that mindset, and we're going to have to tackle it in, you know, in segments, kind of like the pay-as-you-go program we have in Mobile County, and, you know, go in there and tackle, you know, 10 or 20 miles at a time. And, you know, and every time you do that, that's that much less that we have to contend with and deal with. And, you know, and talking with Representative Fred Easterbrook, he agreed, you know, we go in and tackle the areas that have the majority of the fatality wrecks first, which, you know, just so happens to be in my district. And, you know, I think we'll see a massive change there.
Well, the question I have is this, and I can never get a straight answer, and I think Lieutenant Governor was going to look at it, and do we even know what it would cost? Like, do we even have an idea of what it would cost to do this project?
At one point, I did have a rough guesstimate on the price per mile, and I was able to get that from one of our road builders, not Aldot, just to get an idea of what we're looking at. I do not have that number right here handy, but, you know, it was a lot, and that goes back to trying to tackle it in a smaller segment. That's doable, you know, and right now with the extra gas tax and the economy doing as good as it is, I think now is the best opportunity we'll probably ever have to do this. You know, one of the talks I had with Director Cooper, you know, last year or year before, they were wanting the county commissions in Washington County and Mobile County to consider putting money toward the projects. But in meeting with the county commissioners, you know, they've got their own roads and bridges to redo and upkeep, and they just was not in a position to help four-lane a state road.
Yeah, that massive tax base of Washington County is going to be able to four-lane a U.S. highway is kind of silly. But, I mean, Representative, we'll get you out of here on this. They're spending $1 billion on that West Alabama corridor. I took the trip up through there. It looks like that Linden Bypass is coming along. I mean, $1 billion to go from Moundville to Thomasville, four-lane road, and that's, I mean, would it cost more than that?
I wouldn't think so. You know, one of the prices on that project that really shocked me was the price for engineer, and I think it was you know, maybe like $1 million a mile or
yes,
something.
Yes, $1 million a mile.
It was unbelievable. You know, I'm just like, holy moly. I mean, we're dang near pricing ourselves out of business in the road industry with some of the price with that and some of the price for prisons and construction that we're looking at.
Well, yeah, Volcker and Associates making bank off of the engineering there. Representative, we always appreciate your time here and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot. Y'all have a great day.
You do the same. State Representative Shane Stringer there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.